You can talk, you can talk, you can bicker, you can talk. You can bicker, 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 you can talk, you can talk. You can talk, 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 bicker, bicker, bicker. You can talk all you wanna, but it's different than it was.
Better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
When you feel that need, you think it's heaven bad.
And recording. And good afternoon, wherever you are in the country. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1. And welcome aboard on this maiden voyage of spouting off. It's Wednesday, September 20th, 2017, and there is a lot going on. There's Hurricane Maria going on in Puerto Rico and the Caribbean islands, so we have our thoughts and prayers out there to where people are suffering with the hurricanes this year. The Jewish New Year starts tonight, so if you are celebrating Rosh Hashanah, as I am, Happy New Year. It starts tonight at sundown. I'm Karen Cataline, and just like the announcer said, you are better off when you're spouting off. Why? Because you get stuff off your chest. You get fewer ulcers, and see, I don't even have a cough button here, and you get to learn to tolerate the opinions of people you think are wrong or are beneath you or just plain stupid. Here, everything is going to be grist for our mill, especially current events, politics, pop culture, and, well, politics, which seems to permeate everything in these days. I mean, it's amazing. Everything is political today. So we're going to pull some of that apart, and oh, I'm going to have some fun, and I hope you will too. Are you always going to be happy with what you hear? Nope. You might hear things that aggravate you or annoy you. Whether you agree or you disagree, why don't you call in and spout off with your own opinion? That's what spouting off is all about. You know, I've often thought we could prevent a lot of pain and misery in this world if, I'm nervous, if more people could learn the difference between having feelings and acting on them. If they talked more about what's bothering them, maybe it's the social worker in me. I've got a lot of kind of a checkered past. You'll learn a lot more about me if you stick around, and I really hope you do. But if they talked about what was bothering them, and rather than acting it out, or rioting in the streets, perhaps, or destroying other people's property, or hurting people who just happen to look like someone you're mad at, and had nothing whatsoever to do with the problem, or just causing hate and discontent. If we could stop that and talk about our issues, it's never going to be complete or perfect or utopia. Don't we teach our kids, use your words? You know, when they're hitting their neighbors, hitting their playmates, we say, use your words. Well, here you get to use your words. So think of this as a public service program dedicated to preventing innocent people from getting the snot knocked out of them simply for disagreeing. We all have to learn that. It's okay for people to disagree. I am deeply concerned today about that very thing, that today the political discourse has become so contentious that people don't think it's okay to have other people disagree with them. And that's part of what we're going to be talking about. It's okay to even think people are stupid. That doesn't mean they don't have a right to their stupid opinion. That's what makes horse races. And that's what made America. So if you'd like to participate, check this number out, write it down. I would love to hear from you. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's been bugging me lately, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to weigh in with your opinion and to spout off. So the toll-free number is 888-627-6008, or you can call direct 323-744-4831. And if you're listening on the BBS radio station number one, you know that there's a call-in line and there's also a listen line. And I welcome both of you, all of you. Listen, call, participate, tell your friends. So here's what's been really bugging me lately, and I alluded to it before, and I'm about to spout off about it. It's something called what I call oppression propaganda. I want to know, are you being played? If you don't agree with gay marriage or baking a gay wedding cake, you hate gays. If you don't agree with a person who happens to be black, you hate blacks or you're a racist. If you don't agree with open borders, if you want immigration laws to be enforced, you hate foreigners. You're a xenophobe. If you like the idea of America being first, and what that means for those people who think it means something else, it means putting our country first. Our country has sovereignty. It has borders. If you believe that, like every country in the known free universe, a country has a right to decide who comes into their country and who doesn't, who helps the people that are already there trying to work and make a living for their kids, if you believe in that kind of America first, you are now a white nationalist. Do you support free markets, limited government, more freedom, more individual freedom? The kind of principles this country was founded upon, you are now in this country in 2017, in the eyes of a lot of people, you're a hater. So these constant smears coming from one side of the political spectrum, and yes, they are. Now, Republicans are no better in a lot of different ways, but these kind of smears, you're a racist, you're a sexist, you're a homophobe, you hate blacks, you're a hater, you're a bigot, they're coming from the left side of the aisle, the liberal side of the aisle. Did you see the Emmys on Sunday night? If you did, I would love to hear from you. Frankly, I didn't watch it because I knew that I would hear about all the politics that happened on the next day. But at the Emmys, a lot of really fascinating things happened. And I'm talking about the little clips that I heard and noted. And that was, everybody agreed. There wasn't anybody that disagreed. And in fact, they were all competing not for Emmys, but apparently to see who could be the most viciously hateful towards Donald Trump. It was astounding to watch that no amount of hatred was over the top enough for this Hollywood crowd. I wonder how they could possibly talk about it because they live in an insular world in which they're pampered. Everything they say is God's gift. And I don't think most of them could find Venezuela on a map. And yet they're out there telling every one of us that we're racists and bigots if we had the audacity to vote for Donald Trump. Let me find something for you here. I've got a lot of stuff all over my computer. And the Emmys, it's astounding. The Emmys, where are we? Well, I can't find it here. You see, that's what happens on your very first day. You don't know where anything is. The three women, one of them being probably conservative, it was Lily Tomlin. I don't have a quote here in front of me, and I don't have a soundbite. I apologize. But next week, I'll have even more soundbites for you. So we had Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. Now, there's an interesting history for you politically. And you had Dolly Parton. And all three of them said how they're still fighting back against bigots and racists and haters of women. Dolly Parton, interestingly enough, didn't say a darn thing. And most people know that she probably didn't agree. In fact, I suspect that they didn't tell her they were going to do all that. Look, as far as I'm concerned, I am pretty hardcore about the First Amendment. That's freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association. But that doesn't mean when you state an opinion, you don't deserve some criticism for it. So I thought the Emmys, I'm thrilled. As far as I'm concerned, it's delicious that the Emmys had such terrible ratings. because they deserve to have terrible ratings. But here's the point. Hollywood has complained for decades about McCarthyism, and there's a new McCarthyism going on in Hollywood right now. And it is, if you do not have the appropriate left-wing point of view, you're not wanted in Hollywood. I was in show business for a long time. I mean, certainly not in the highest echelons of show business, but I knew plenty of people who actually got politically active on the left just so they could meet people and rub elbows with all the right people. It bothers me terribly that today in Hollywood, it's not safe to come out of the closet as anything but a hard leftist who hates Donald Trump. And that's disturbing. If you have thoughts about that, I would certainly like to hear your opinion. You're welcome to call in right now. I'm going to give you the phone numbers as we speak. It is 888-627-6008, or you can call direct 323-744-4831. Now, here is another thing that I wanted to talk about. These things are all related. The question is, what's going on with this blame-a-thon, this smear-a-thon? Are we really all racists and bigots and homophobes and xenophobes? Or are we being played? That's what I want to know. Didn't our mothers used to caution us against blaming and name-calling and overgeneralizing everything? I submit that there are a broad and expanded definitions of all of these things we're talking about. And that's what I think the left is doing right now. They've expanded all the definitions of these words that I'm talking to you about, and they're being used as smears today. So here's what I did. I went to the dictionary, and everything is online these days, you know, and I looked to see what really is the definition of racism. Would you like to know? I'll tell you. What is the definition of racism based on the dictionary? It is a belief or there's several definitions, a belief or doctrine that inherent differences among the various human racial groups determine cultural or individual achievement, usually involving the idea that one's own race is superior, has the right to dominate others, or that a particular racial group is inferior to others. Here's another one, a definition of racism, a policy system of government based upon or fostering such a doctrine or discrimination, hatred or intolerance of another race or races. So nowadays, what we've said is there, everything is possible racism. When you expand a definition so that everything is racism, then you get a bunch of political points. All right? So case in point, this is just stories that I saw this week. There was a young lady named Danielle Ryder. I think it's Danielle. And she went to Hobby Lobby to do her shopping. And she found a decoration in one of the stores. She found it so offensive. She shared the image on Facebook, which went viral, requesting that they remove this decor from their shelves. What was this deeply offensive decoration at Hobby Lobby? It was a glass vase. I know there's a word, vase. There was a glass bottle containing what appeared to be replicas of raw cotton plants. And here's what she posted on her Facebook page. This decor is wrong on so many levels. There's nothing decorative about raw cotton, a commodity which was gained at the expense of African American slaves. And she goes on. A little sensitivity goes a long way, she added. Please remove this decor. 3 days ago, there were 76,000 comments on her website. I went to it. She had to shut it down. And it was shared nearly 7,000 times. She took the whole thing off. It is amazing today that she could be offended by cotton. Somebody pointed out that she was actually wearing cotton in the picture of her on her Facebook page. So one would ask, so are there any black people today who were slaves and who helped pick that cotton? And would she like to stop wearing cotton, some of which is used to make dollar bills? So I'm thinking people are a little bit too sensitive today. Now, if you call the left too sensitive, they will call you a racist and a bigot. But you have to be ready for that sort of thing. Here's another example for you from another thing that happened just this week. Okay, a Greek life retreat at the University of Mississippi, otherwise known as Ole Miss, was promptly canceled recently after a banana peel was found hanging in a tree. So a student said he threw the banana peel into the tree because he couldn't find a garbage can. Could this happen in real life? Yeah. Is it littering? Yeah. Is it racist? I don't think so. But the incident made some students so uneasy, they went to the school and complained. And said the school said they felt it was imperative to provide space immediately to students affected by this incident. And they came out, a spokesperson for Ole Miss in Mississippi said, because of the underlying reality many students of color endure on a daily basis, the conversation manifested into a larger conversation about race relations today at the University of Mississippi. To be clear, many members of our community were hurt, frightened, and upset by what occurred. So they made the assumption that a banana peel in a tree is a derision and a comment against black people. Who's being racist here? I would like to know. So you have to make lots of leaps of logic. And that is the environment we are living in today, in which you make many, many leaps of logic in order to expand your definition as to what racism actually means. Let's go to another definition. And these are the smears that everyday people of all colors, they're even calling black people who think conservatively racists today. Can you believe that? And they do. They do because they don't hold the proper idea. They don't have the proper viewpoint on certain things. They don't agree with Robert De Niro and Jane Fonda about what is and isn't acceptable. So here's the definition of bigotry. Stubborn and complete intolerance of any creed, belief, or opinion that's different from one's own. Who is it who's being bigoted and racist, or at least bigoted and prejudiced today? Well, I would submit it's the people running around smearing others with these labels of bigot, racist, homophobe. Sexism, here's another one. Here's the definition of sexism: attitudes or behavior based on traditional stereotypes of gender roles. That's a left-wing definition, by the way. Discrimination or devaluation based on a person's sex or gender, as in restricted job opportunities, especially such discrimination directed as against women. All right. So here we have a broadened definition of sexism and racism for political purposes. That's what's going on. Now, why do they do that sort of thing? You know, we have a caller on the line. I love it. We have caller Barbara on the line. This is my very first caller on Spouting Off. So let me see if I can tune her into the program here. Mr. Producer, do I need to click anything to bring Barbara in on the conversation? Nope. Barbara. Hi, Barbara. What do you have to say?
Hello,
about what
Karen.
We're talking? Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I commend you for the subject that you are taking on. I know that you speak truthfully. I try to. We are being shut out of the marketplace, and it is a lying, upside-down world, and I commend you. Aww. And thanks, Karen.
Well, thanks. So tell me, what do you think about, for example, did you happen to see the Emmys on Sunday?
No, but I, like you, have heard the feedback. And when everybody agrees, and when they don't agree with me with what they're doing and the representation to the world that our president is untruthful and not worthy, I don't take my time, but I do stand against those who I know have an agenda that is to shut down opposing viewpoints.
Yeah, you know what? You know what I find, Barbara, so fascinating? The very people that are preaching to us, everyone, and I'm not saying one against the other, but the very people that preach to us about tolerance, about diversity, about kindness, about compassion, are the ones that seem to be engaging in this tactic of labeling and smearing everyone who disagrees with these labels of racist, bigot, homophobe, and xenophobe and all the rest. They get so tiresome, they don't do their case any favors because people are tuning it out.
Yes, and they cannot win on the argument or their policies, so they attack, and it is vicious. And I have been the subject of their attacks a handful of times in the last year. And
really?
Thank you for taking them on, Karen. Oh, thank you.
Well, a lot of us have to take it on, and I thank you for spouting off. I have one more question for you, Barbara, before I let you go. So for people who feel like, you know, there's an old saying in politics that when, it's not a saying, but when someone puts a mic in front of your face and says, "When did you stop beating your wife?" It's really hard to defend against that kind of criticism because you've already been branded as an evil, rotten, terrible person. So
anybody today
who voted for Donald Trump, who dares to say that they like the phrase "Make America Great Again" and they believe, they agree with Donald Trump on some of the things he's trying to do, are being called racist, deplorables, bigots, all the rest of it, they're homophobes, all the rest of it. It doesn't matter if it's true. My question to you is, what do you think is the best way to fight against that sort of smear?
To keep speaking the truth. We have an obligation. We cannot be passive, and we have got to be out there, informed, and articulate. I have been to city council a couple times this year. I took on the mayor on Sanctuary City at a public meeting. I go to the town halls where I know it will be the only those who are like-minded of the liberal left, and I speak out. And I do call on others to do so. You know, it's kind of fun if you aren't sensitive. and Karen, good for you. And I wish you very well in this effort that is essential to keep America free.
Oh, well, thank you, Barbara, for calling in. Thank you for spouting off today on our very first maiden voyage of spouting off. And I hope that you will keep listening and keep calling. And tell your friends that we are out here, and they may not always agree with me, and you may not always agree with me, but hey, it's still America, and we have a right to express our opinion, do we not? We do.
Yes, and we need to protect that truth.
There you
go. Good wishes
to you,
Karen.
Thanks for calling in, Barbara, and have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So I'm going to continue. We're going to take a break at about the half hour mark here so that we have actually a couple of bills to pay and we have some commercials. But I've got a few more minutes here to continue this discussion. And I do invite you to call in. I love having discussion. That's what makes live talk radio is such a wonderful thing. You never know where it's going to lead, and you never know what's going to happen. I want to advance this idea here a little bit. My feeling is that the oppression propaganda that we are being fed today in 2017, and you don't have to agree with the people who are being labeled. You just have to have the integrity enough to stand up and say, wait a minute, that's not fair. Hobby Lobby, even though it's a Christian organization, personally, I'm not a Christian, but for people to walk in and say that they're racist because they have a vase of cotton centerpiece and immediately consider that they are racists, that stuff has to be called out. And it doesn't matter whether you agree with Hobby Lobby or not. So I'm thinking, and I believe this absolutely, that it is a political tactic. This is a way to demonize the opposition. And if you broaden generalizations as much as we are seeing with cotton balls and bananas in trees, then you get a license to hate your opposition. It makes it okay to hate, despise, and shut down other people that disagree with you. And as I said to Barbara, isn't that interesting that these are the folks who are telling everyone else that they're more tolerant than we are? And you can't let that kind of stuff stand. So my question is, who are the real haters here? If they even believe half of what they say, and I don't think they do. I don't think that everyone thinks that a banana that was thrown in a tree is suddenly racist, a comment on racism. You have to make lots and lots of analytical leaps to get there. It could be anything. In fact, I remember that when Donald Trump and Melania went down to the hurricane recovery to show their support, they were handing out bananas. What did the left do? Because they look for every single opportunity to turn Donald Trump into something he's not. I'd like to go there as well. They were handing out bananas. Why? Because when people are not eating enough, bananas are very, very nutritious. They're easy on the stomach, and they're very good, and they're handed out all over the world in Biafra and everywhere else. When people are malnourished, they offer great potassium. What did the left say immediately? Well, of course, Donald Trump is a white nationalist, and he's handing out bananas because he's a racist. I ask you, I would challenge any one of you to watch the UN speech. We'll get to this a little later, but watch that UN speech that Donald Trump made yesterday as objectively as you can, even if you disagree with everything he said, and I don't. I think you figured that out. And do I agree with everything Donald Trump says? Absolutely not. I would challenge you to listen to that speech and then go watch some of the Emmys on YouTube and see if those people are talking about the same guy. They are smearing him. It is bigotry. It is prejudice. And it's hatefulness towards a person who may not share their political opinion, but is not a racist. I give you case in point. The New York Times, last week, September 18th, a guy by the name of Charles Blow, he asked a question in an editorial in the New York Times. Is Trump a white supremacist? That is a serious question that people on the left are asking. They have smeared Steve Bannon with that, even though Steve Bannon is no such thing. If you don't know who Steve Bannon is, he was most recently an advisor to Donald Trump, and now he is no longer an advisor, forced out for all manner of reasons. And now he's back at Breitbart, and the left smears everybody. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk more about Donald Trump, about the Emmys, and another case that is headed to the Supreme Court that you might want to know about, and you might have some opinions. Stay with us. You're listening to Spouting Off on BBS Radio Station 1.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom, just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844.
Northern Tool and Equipment.
My girlfriend has given me a pet name.
I'm afraid to ask.
Snuggle Muffin.
No, it isn't.
And she uses it in public.
Okay, so give your girlfriend a pet name she'll hate, like Thunder Chunky.
I couldn't do that.
I see. Too harsh for Snuggle Muffin. Okay. Drown her out with a 200-mile-per-hour cordless leaf blower.
Got it. Here she comes.
Hey, Snuggle Muffin. What are you doing, Snuggle? Snuggle. I am so out of here.
Wait. Come back, Thunder Chunky.
There's no problem a little horsepower can't solve. Northern Tool and Equipment.
That's all, folks.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone you need to clear the air with, but you haven't been able to find the words? Sometimes you just need an objective second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma and let her help you move past whatever is getting in your way. She is a former therapist. She's wise, caring, and will give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 per minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and it's very effective. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
A man who was brave and true, with justice for all as his aim. Then out of the sun rode a man with a gun, and Trump was his name. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark night into day. He made his blazing saddle a torch to light the way.
I'm back. This is Karen Cataline with you again for another half an hour or so. And I am excited. This is our maiden voyage of Spouting Off, the new program on BBS Radio Station 1. And it's such a pleasure to be with you. We've been talking about political tactics of the left. And it's very interesting how, if you were to watch the UN speech yesterday of Donald Trump, and I hope that you do, I hope you will watch even a little bit of it, and then watch a little bit of what Hollywood was saying about Donald Trump on Sunday. It was a Trump hate fest. In fact, it didn't seem to be about the enemies. They're not our enemies. They're just our opposition. It didn't seem to be about the Emmys at all. It seemed to be about hating Donald Trump more than life itself. Now, I don't think they're talking about the same guy. They're really not. They're not talking about the same guy. I submit to you that if Donald Trump had run for the United States presidency and put a D after his name, and if he were running as a Democrat, even though he had never run for anything before. He has accomplished an enormous thing that nobody in the history of this country has accomplished, getting to be president of the United States without ever having any political experience. I happen to agree with quite a few of his policies, and I am willing to stand on those and talk about those a lot. I don't agree with everything Donald Trump says, but what I wanted to say was, if you compare who it was they were talking about at the Emmys and who Donald Trump was when he stood up at the UN yesterday and spoke against communism and socialism, they're not the same people. They're not even close. Donald Trump showed leadership yesterday. He showed articulation of ideas that haven't been talked about at the UN or even in the presidency since Ronald Reagan and before. Now, you may disagree with those points of view. You may not like the idea of free markets, capitalism, the kind of thing that is enabling me to sit here before you today to broadcast a program that you may or may not disagree with and not have someone knock on my door and take me away. This is what we're fighting. And I do believe, and you'll learn a lot about my point of view, and I'm willing to argue my point of view and debate my point of view with anybody and listen to yours as well. Our freedom is the most precious thing we have. It's what makes the internet free. And there are people who have appointed themselves leaders and lords over the rest of us. They think they know better than we do, and they want to shut down any opposition. In my opinion, you ought to be really suspicious of anybody who tells you that your opinion doesn't matter. Shouldn't you? Shouldn't you be a little suspicious of a person like that? Or who goes around demonizing the opposition as one of the most vile kinds of people there are? The radical left has decided that if you're a conservative, you're worse than a terrorist. You are a bigot, a racist, a homophobe. They don't get all upset about terrorism, but they do get upset by cotton balls and by statues. We have people running around taking statues down in various cities. This is a disgrace. For one thing, bigotry was much, much worse in the 50s, and you didn't see people who truly were fighting for their civil rights tearing down statues. No, they had better things to do. They were fighting for true justice. Today, again, the idea is if you can expand your definition of what is a racist and a bigot, then you can shut down your opposition. I would also submit that the left who are doing this kind of thing, they can't acknowledge progress. Now, they claim to be progressives, right? But they can't acknowledge progress. To a hardcore leftist going to one of our many, many universities today, a very frightening place because there is no freedom of thought in most universities today, you ask them, has there been progress in our race relations from the 1950s to today? Most of them will tell you no. There's been no progress. America is a racist country. America deserves to be brought down because of its racism, and it's gotten worse than ever. Well, who do you think are stirring up this kind of hatred and hate and discontent? It's the very people that are unwilling to acknowledge progress. Why? Because it gets them political points. They cannot acknowledge that anything has gotten better, even in the slightest. When did they start going off the rails, I ask? When did they start deciding that to be white was to be evil, which, by the way, is bigotry? If you hate all white people, you're a bigot. If you hate all black people, you're a bigot. When did this all go off the rails? When? I'm telling you, it was when we elected a black president, or some would say a half black president. I saw a great great billboard not long ago during Obama's tenure. It said, "We're not racists. We don't like his white half either." So you can disagree with the president, regardless of what his origins are, what color he is, where he's from, what state he's from, or what his political ideology is. And if you refuse to disagree with a president because he's black, then you are the racist. You are condescending to someone based on their race. That is the very definition. But so when did we start going off the rails with these smear tactics? It was when America elected a black president, hoping that we could get beyond this constant obsession, this unbelievable focus on nothing but race, gender, and identity politics. I believe there were a lot of people, and black Barack Obama could not have been elected had he only been voted in by black people. He was elected by a still white majority in this country who were hoping against hope, not all of them, but a lot of them were hoping against hope that once we had a black president, we could finally settle down and start judging people by the character, the content of their character, as Martin Luther King would say, rather than the color of their skin. Not very long ago, that was what the absence of racism was. It was judging people by the content of their character and not making snap judgments based on superficial things like where they're from or the color of their skin or their religion or anything else. You're judging them on who they are as an individual. We've lost that today. So the very people that have been lecturing us about racism, bigotry, and so forth, they've given themselves a license to be that very thing, to be hateful. And you're seeing it everywhere. I could go on for 3 hours, and I'm not going to. The program is only an hour. But there are enormous examples of people today who are now giving themselves license to hate all white people. There are places on college campuses today where only black people are allowed because black people are offended by white people's very existence. This is so, so sad to see, because black people do have a history of being on the receiving end of racism in this country, especially in the 50s. And yet now we're seeing the reverse. We're living in an upside down world. The principles of in order to charge that someone is racist, don't you have to know what the absence of racism is? Next time, ask someone, what's the absence of racism? Will they know? Today, it's acceptable to call any white person racist because they are they suffer from white privilege. This is the biggest bunch of bunk I've ever heard in my life. There is no such thing as white privilege. There's people that have privilege, and guess what? Not everybody's going to succeed the same way. That's socialism. So I ask you to think about the next time you get into an argument with someone who either calls you a racist or wants to say that there's only one way to think, or that they call a lot of people racist who aren't, because this is the new epitaph, the new you're a murderer, whatever, is to ask them, what would the absence of racism look like? If they tell you to kill all white people, then you know that they're a bigot, right? So the absence of racism truly is to judge people as individuals, not as a member of a group. It's really pretty simple. Judge people as individuals. And the other thing is, it's okay to judge people. That's how we choose who to hire. And that's become a dirty word too, is to be discriminating in your tastes, to be discriminating in your ideas. It doesn't mean that you are a discriminating person and you're going to stop people from having an opportunity. But today, we're going to have to expand this out and talk about it in more specific terms in coming programs. And I do welcome your thoughts and opinions, because I don't want to talk in broad generalities either. But this is something that is so disturbing today because it's divisive to the country. Let me give you another example of a broadened example of what is called racist. And I don't have too much more time, but it's another case that is headed to the Supreme Court and is all about calling somebody a homophobe or anti-gay. Let's see, we now have gay marriage, regardless of whether other people agreed or disagreed with that, because judges in the Supreme Court made that decision that it's now okay to have gay marriage. Well, that's not what I'm going to be talking about right now, because I think it's wrong for five judges to make that determination personally. So I said I wouldn't talk about it, but here I am talking about it. What I want to talk about is whether it's whether it's homophobic for a baker who happens to be in Colorado. This case is going to the Supreme Court. It's called the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. I've been following it for about 5 years. I remember when the case happened. And there is a man by the name of Jack Phillips, who is a very religious Christian. And, excuse me, he used to bake wedding cakes and cookies and candies and all kinds of other lovely things. And he does not believe in baking cakes for gay weddings. He also doesn't bake Halloween cakes. He wouldn't bake a cake, a specialty cake for a devil worship. There's a lot of things that he wouldn't do. And the cake baking, designing is his art. He'll sell generic cakes and cookies off the shelf. But when you go to him as an artist and you ask him to bake a cake for a wedding, that's his art. And he actually does design art on the cake itself. Okay, so here we have the left who has expanded, and not all the left, mind you. There's a whole bunch of people that don't agree with this. I don't share Jack Phillips' religious points of view. I don't. But I do share our love of the Constitution and his right to decide for himself whether he will or will not bake a cake for anyone. So two guys came into the cake shop. Many people believe that he was shopped by these two guys who gay marriage wasn't even legal in Colorado when this case happened. This was before the Supreme Court case in which gay marriage was rendered legal across 50 states. It was not legal in Colorado. And yet, when two gay men came in and asked Jack Phillips to bake him a cake, they sat down with him at his cake table and asked him to bake a cake for their gay wedding celebration. They got married in Massachusetts, I believe. Jack Phillips very politely said, I'll be happy to sell you a cake off the shelf. You can put anything on it you want, but I won't design you a gay wedding cake because I don't design cakes for same-sex weddings. They said, F you. They were very obnoxious, walked out of the store, and promptly filed charges against Jack Phillips for discrimination. This case has gone all the way to the Supreme Court because administrative judges have ruled in favor of the gay couple. And it is based on a ruling that gay people are part of a protected group of race, sex, gender, and all the rest, and therefore you cannot discriminate. What's interesting to me, and there's so much interesting about this case to me, is that the left that claims to be so pro-gay marriage also claims to be pro-artistic freedom. And yet they are calling, one administrative judge called Jack Phillips a Nazi for being unwilling to bake a gay wedding cake. Now, how do you get from, I don't wish to participate in your gay wedding, to you're anti-gay, you're a homophobe, and you're a Nazi? Now, I ask you, who's the bigot here? I think we need to start talking more, thinking more discriminatingly, and our definitions about what is anti-gay. If you believe anti-gay, if gay people don't have a right to life, liberty, and property, then you're anti-gay. If you call people a homophobe, that literally means that you're afraid of them. And this is another tactic, is saying that the only reason you don't like gays is you're either afraid of them or you're afraid you are one. That's not true. Can you be a terror-phobe? Yeah, I think people could be afraid of terrorism. That doesn't make them hateful. So there's a lot of politics going on today. And the question really is, are you being played? Are you being played by all of this propaganda going on, designed to rile you up and hate your fellow man because they disagree with you? Furthermore, there's something else I want to go back to if I have time, and I do have time, is something going back to Donald Trump. I'm a little all over the place, but that's the way I think. So stay with me here. Not too long ago, I saw a little piece on Facebook. It said in 1986, Donald Trump, Rosa Parks, Muhammad Ali received the Ellis Island Award. No one accused Donald Trump of being a racist until he decided to run for president and became a threat to Hillary Clinton and her return to power. And I submit that anyone running for president today, in 2016, last year, would have been called a racist, a bigot, and a homophobe. Now, I don't like Mitt Romney. I was never crazy about him, and I like him even less now. But they called him a racist and a bigot and a homophobe too, by the way, because he happened to say in a very not a particularly elegant way that he kept a, it was a notebook of women, you know, for whom he wanted to give jobs. So because he had a notebook of women, a dossier of women that to choose from, what he was talking about was their biographies, their CVs, their resumes. He wanted to hire them, but the left made fun of him. I don't like Mitt Romney, but Mitt Romney doesn't appear to be a racist to me. He seems to be a little out of touch. But when you expand those definitions to call everyone a racist, you have to question, what's the political motivation? So here we have Donald Trump, who was given the Ellis Island Award, posing with Rosa Parks, Muhammad Ali, with whom he was very good friends. And in 1986, he wasn't a racist, a bigot, a Nazi, a homophobe, or a white nationalist. Today, there are people who buy this political propaganda and say that he is. I call BS on all of them. I do. And you can call me and disagree and tell me that's not true. But I believe that if Donald Trump had run as a Democrat, no way would he be called a racist and a bigot and a homophobe unless he tried to put forth his ideas in the Democrat Party, and then he wouldn't have won the nomination in the first place. So there you have it. Ooh. I want to thank you for being with us. If you'd like to talk to me, good. You can go to www.karencataline.com. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. And I want to thank Doug, my producer at BBS Radio, Wiley Fox, the technical wizard and extraordinaire, and HW, multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Tune in next week when we'll have lots more on Spouting Off.
We'll be down, down, down.